Well, here we go. Stephen Colbert, I had predicted when they suggested they were going to have to end his show because they were losing money, and that's been fought, but there's been no change. I think he's supposed to be on the air till May, and I suggested at the time, I wondered if he'd really make it to May. And it appears that he may not, but we don't know, because television is as screwy as ever. Everything's changed everywhere, and that's a sad fact. I mean, we see it, you see it in the local news and the product you get, and we're seeing it in the national news and national television programs and the products that we're getting. Be that as it may, we go to an expert who's been around watching all of it, Matt Friedman, co-founder of Tanner Friedman Strategic Communications. The story that, of course, the news media is loving is that Stephen Colbert says that CBS spiked his interview with Texas Senate candidate James Tallarico. The first thing that occurred to me was Stephen Colbert is not a news show, so he can't, you know, you start to get nervous if people tell news shows what they can do or not do. His show, unbeknownst to Stephen even, is an entertainment show. It is handled by the entertainment department, if you will, of CBS. And I think they have as much right telling him what to do or not do as my bosses have telling me. I'm not a news show. I'm a news talk show. I'm not a newscaster. I'm an opinion caster, you know? I'm happy to say they've never told me not to talk about one thing or another that I can remember in my 50-plus years association with this radio station. No manager's ever come down and say, don't talk about this or anything like that. Let's see what Matt Friedman has to say as Stephen Colbert is complaining about CBS lawyers preventing him from airing an interview with Democrat Texas Senate candidate James Tallarico due to FCC pressure on the equal time rule, which I didn't even know if that rule was still around. Matt, help us out here.
Hey, Paul W. You've been around this a long time, too, and you could potentially be affected by this, as you note. And what's new in the last couple weeks is that the FCC, in an era really of re-regulation of the broadcast media, pronounced just a couple weeks ago, at the end of January, that they were going to start enforcing equal time for political candidates when it came to the late night talk shows. Now, we know that this president and his administration has been focused on these late night talk shows. You and I have talked about Colbert before and Jimmy Kimmel a few months ago. So this is nothing new. Even Jimmy Fallon's name comes up from time to time. And so we knew there'd be a test case coming sooner or later. And this has been the test case. And in digging into this, I realized that several years ago, the FCC decided that the late night talk shows would be treated in the same way as news shows. Not that they are news shows, but they were going to keep the hands off in an era of deregulation from political candidates on these shows. And that has changed with this administration and this FCC. And this is the first time we're seeing these government muscles being flexed. And of course, controversy has ensued.
Well, you know, but the fact of the matter is, this is interesting. I don't know. I'll ask Mike Parsons, my executive producer, who stays more on top of this sort of thing than me. But, I mean, weren't we both under the impression that the equal time thing was gone?
Not that it was gone, but I think it's like 90 days out of the election or something like that.
The enforcement had been really lax, even though some of these laws were on the books. And some of that is the changing nature of the way that Americans and consume media. I mean, it used to be that broadcast media was the primary way for people to hear from candidates. And now there's so many ways, most of them with us on our phones at all times, that the rules have been relaxed. But I knew at the end of January when Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, said that late night talk shows would be affected by this, that we'd have a high profile test case. And here it is. And the real winner here, Paul W., is James Tallarico. This is a guy from Texas who had been something of an emerging national figure in politics, and all of a sudden his interview with Colbert has almost 6 million views on YouTube, and he's well on his way to becoming a household name while early voting is underway in the Texas U.S. Senate primary.
Wow. So it, just so that our listeners understand what where I'm coming from and what I talked to Mike Parsons about and what our good friend Matt Friedman is explaining, this equal time in the old days, I don't know how many years we go back, if we had somebody running for governor, we would then have to have everybody running for governor, which caused us oftentimes, not necessarily people running for governor because it's so important, but oftentimes not having people on for lesser offices, because then we might have to have 12 other people on, and it kind of like takes over our show, and we don't have any strength to put together what we hope is a informative and entertaining show. Now we're coming back, but think of this for a moment. I don't have the figures in front of me, but somebody has done a study on the late night shows, and you're saying, Matt, this was specifically aimed at them, and for good reason. On the late night shows, all three of them that matter, there were like 250 Democrats that were guests and two Republicans. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but you remember hearing that, Matt? I mean, they were never fair. They never let Republicans come on. They just made fun of them.
There's no question that there's been imbalance in that regard on these shows. And there's also no question that most of these programs have more viewers online than they do on TV because of the changing nature of the audience, particularly younger audiences who, let's face it, that's who the late night shows are geared for. That's who's up at that hour consuming live media. So there's been concern. The question is, and what's new to all of this, is that the FCC's role in regulating traditional over-the-air TV and radio has been much more about ownership, about technology. It has not really been about content for the last couple of decades. And this FCC is now pressing the accelerator when it comes to putting pressure on broadcasters for what's on the air. And I, as a communicator, just hope we don't get to the point where the government is telling you or anybody who does what you do what kind of guest you should have and what you shouldn't. And I think that's what the audience needs to keep an eye on.
Well, and trust me, I'll help the audience because I, at this point in my career, I'm not afraid of saying this happened or that happened or we're being pressured to do this or to not do that. I will share that with my audience. I owe them that for sticking with me for 50 plus years, and I will always do that, no question about it. Then the other question, though, is, is CBS so scared now that I'm sure there are guys in rooms with doors closed saying, I can't believe Colbert's doing this to us again, and now he put it out online after we told him not to do it. We got to get rid of him. I think they're probably now maybe afraid to get rid of him before May. What do you think?
Yeah, I think his job is safe until May. And I think their real concern now is that they're not going to be able to make more corporate acquisitions with the blessing of the federal government. That's a part of this, too.
Oh, what a world, what a world. And aren't we lucky to have Matt Friedman, co-founder of Tanner Friedman Strategic Communications, helping us see behind the curtain. God bless you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Paul W. Thank you.
All right. 12:44 at WJR.